Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody. I'm excited about today's message because God is going to do something large. That is His promise to us. He's doing something large here. And He's made a lot of promises to us. And we're going to see them. We're going to embrace them. We're going to hold on to them. We're going to have spiritual eyes to see them long before that they manifest. And the other thing we're going to do is we're going to write them down. And we're going to fight for them. Amen? We're going to stand on those things. I want to let you know that we're about to launch Ground Zero Men's Ministry here February the 20th. So men, you need to be here on February the 20th at 9 a.m. We'll be meeting out there in our open area. We'll be relaunching that. We are here for the purpose of connecting. Of course, that's important. But it's about freedom, it's about direction, and it's about discipleship. Now, Elder Gary and Jerry, I get their names mixed up, you know, they just kind of one and the same here. But Elder Gary and our worship leader, Chris Baker, are going to be speaking to the men on February the 20th. So, men, you don't want to miss this. They're going to lay the foundation of who and why we exist as Ground Zero Men's Ministry. Men, I expect it to be more than just for us. It's going to be a ministry that will impact our cities. And so, men, I encourage you to come. Those of you who are watching online this morning, I encourage you to be here February the 20th at 9 a.m. for the launching of Ground Zero Men's Ministry. When I was in high school, or I can just go back to just my football playing days, back in the day, some of you understand back in the day, some of you don't have played in today's world and don't know anything about playing both sides of the line of scrimmage in a football game and never coming off the field, you know. It was totally different back then. But what I'm about to share with you is very important to where we're going this morning. When I played on offense, I was a tailback. When I was on defense, I played both cornerback and strong safety, depended on the team that we were playing. And I want to talk about the defensive side. When we played a pass-heavy team, I was a cornerback. All the coach said was go to the fastest receiver and you stay with him. Well, which one is he? Well, we've seen the film. He's that guy. You go wherever he goes. But if we played against a run-heavy football team, then I played strong safety. In reality, I was more like a kind of a roaming linebacker. Because when we played those run-heavy teams, whether they were running the wishbone or the veer, and those that were real strong on sweeps and dive plays, I played strong safety. My job was real simple. When the play was engaged, I was to come up to the line of scrimmage and set the edge and make sure no running plays got around me. That I drove everything back to the inside so that the linebackers coming across could make a tackle. But I did something that many didn't do. I watch pro football today, and I still see them not doing it. There's times I want to climb through the TV screen and say, dude, if you would do this, they'd quit coming your direction. But in a sweep or the wishbone, when they would come my direction, sometimes there was a pulling guard, sometimes a pulling tackle. If they had the athletes to pull that off. Of course, you had a leading fullback a lot of times, or you might have another leading back in the wishbone. My job was to hit that line of scrimmage and not let them come across the line of scrimmage where I was. And so I would set myself. I would plant my feet. I'd come up quickly, plant my feet, get my hands out like a shield. And back when we could do this, when you got close enough, I was going to surprise you. I wasn't going to sit there and seal the edge and wait for you to hit me. While you're coming, thinking about how you're going to cream me, and I'm sure some of those guards said, I'm going to take that dude out, I would launch with the crown of my helmet, can't do that anymore, into the oncoming traffic and stand my ground. I didn't just plant my feet and wait for them to come to me. When the enemy got close, I launched into the enemy.
Church, got to stop waiting on the enemy to hit you. We need to take it to the enemy. We got to be proactive. We're going to have to plant our feet, stand our ground. And when we see the enemy coming, don't wait for him to show up where you're standing. You need to launch out and defeat the enemy. Push him back. Drive him back. Knock him off his feet. You have the Word of God. What's happening is we're not setting the edge. And when we do set the edge, we stand there and we let the enemy hit us and overwhelm us. We need to set the edge. And we need to start driving the enemy back into the backfield. That was my goal. I'm going to hit you as hard as I can. You're not expecting this. You're thinking I'm just going to stand here until you hit me. And I'm going to try to bottle everything up. No, I'm going to launch out into you and surprise you and hopefully disrupt the whole play. The church is set back on its heels too long. We need to get up on our toes. And when we see the enemy coming, we go after the enemy and drive him back. Don't wait for him to do something. When you see it, go after him. You have the most powerful weapon on planet Earth, the Word of God. I'm already off my message. Hang on. I'm tired. Can I say it? I'm sick and tired of watching the body of Christ be beat up. Amen. I'm tired of the body of Christ being run over. Because in so many cases, in so many false teachings, is telling us to live a passive Christian life. No way, Jose, as my Mexican side of my family says. Some of you don't know that. It is time that we get up on our toes and get off our heels. And let's start standing our ground. Let's get proactive. And let's quit waiting on the person next to me to do it for me. Now I'm going to meddle. Quit waiting on your spouse to do it. You do it. Quit being afraid. Because the Bible says, fear not, for I am with you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. Time for us to stand up and launch out. I decided in one football game, after I planted my feet and a tackle pulled and came around and just laid me out, I said, never again. If he's going to lay me out, he's going to lay me out after I hit him first. Are you tired of being beat up? The Bible says, draw near to God and resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. Got to get up on your toes, press in to God, and launch out, and quit letting the enemy steal your promises. You got to stand your ground. I know we want to trust God in it, but you know what? There's some action to that trust. You got to resist the devil. You got to stand up. He's coming around with a power sweep, and we got to quit giving into it. We got to start launching into it. Come on. Amen. Anybody ready? Got to launch into it. Well, isn't that dangerous? For him, it is. When the church wakes up, it's going to be real dangerous for him. That leads me to truth number one. Faith means more than just believing God exists. It's the absolute conviction God will do what he promised. Last week, I sat down in a chair, and we learned that we need to sit before we stand. We need to sit down, and we need to remember what God has done for us. I stack stones here on the platform of all the memorials of what God has done for my family. And I forgot to put one stone in there. What God has done for us with this building. And then I put stones down for you. I hope that you spent this week building your altar of memorial stones. You got to sit and remember what God has done for you. He loves you unconditionally. He will provide for you. He will strengthen you. And now today we need to stand up, get up on our toes, and launch out and take out the enemy and not let him have the promises that God has promised to us. Because the enemy is working to steal your promise. He's working on it. And if he can get you to give in and to give up, then he just took hold. And he's gained ground. And I am tired of the enemy gaining ground. It's time for us to get up on our toes and believe the reality that faith is more than just believing God exists, but faith is an absolute conviction that God will do what he promised. Ask yourself the question today, do I have an absolute conviction that God will do what he promised? Or is the first thought I have is the things that I did not see happen? Or is the first thing you think about is the things I have seen happen? That's important. Do I have an absolute conviction? Have we had negative things happen in our lifetime? Oh, yeah. We've had our share. Does not change my faith and conviction that my God can do anything and will. It's an absolute conviction we must have. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold firmly without wavering to the hope that we have confessed. Because we can trust God to do what he promised. One who promised is faithful. What have you confessed? What has been your confession? When you make that confession, you're up on your toes. But have you been speaking against that that you've confessed? With negativity. With doubt and unbelief. What have you confessed? Well, Pastor, what do I do? It's real simple. Ask forgiveness. Repent. Turn. That's what repentance means, is to turn you back and go the other way. Not do that again. Just, Father, I'm sorry. And he's sitting there going, I got you. Now, come on. Let's go take the enemy out so that you can have what you confessed. Having hope in what we've confessed because we trust God. Why do we trust God? Because he's faithful. He's faithful. We don't understand everything, but he's faithful. We got to stand our ground. North Elevation Church, everyone watching me on Facebook this morning, it is time that we suit up. It's time that we suit up. I never went out on the football field without all my stuff on. Sometimes I found places to put extra stuff. It is time that the church suit up. Stop going out into the battle without our suit of armor on. And it's time for us to stand our ground and embrace the promises that God has made to us. What are those promises? He said, you're not in a miracle moment, you're in a miracle season. Said it four times, series after series after series of miracles. We've been telling you some of those things. He said, miracles, physical miracles, financial miracles, families being restored, being reconnected. We've told you stories about that. Creativity, where there was no creativity, and God doing amazing things in people's lives. God has made us some promises, and I want them. And I'm going to have to set the edge and not let the enemy on my side of the field. What God has promised me. Matter of fact, I am in attack mode right now. I want back some of the stuff that's been stolen. Amen. That's mine. Some of it's yours. Got to get up on our toes. Stand our ground and get ready to launch out. The word stand in the King James Dictionary says this, to be fixed or steady. Not vacillating. His mind stands unmoved. Stand means stand. Well, I'm standing, Pastor. I promise you, Pastor, I'm standing. No, you're vacillating. Between doubt and unbelief. Between he will or he won't. It is time that we plant our feet in the ground and quit vacillating and stand up and declare, my God will do what he promised. Amen. Well, haven't you noticed all the stuff going on around you and in your family? And I mean, my goodness, I don't even know how you're breathing. There's so much going on. I know, but my God, he is faithful, and I will have the promises that he's made to me. That's not vacillating. That is a sign and a wonder to everybody around you that your faith is larger than your issues. Your faith. And let me tell you something, church. Believe this or not, it's a fact. When the world sees you doing that, they're drawn. You become a testimony that they want a part of. Truth number two, stand your ground means stand your ground. It never means giving up or giving in. Stand your ground means stand your ground. Don't give up. Don't give in. I don't watch as much football as I used to, but I'm quietly sitting there while Rochelle's talking to the television like that's going to make the Cowboys play better. And I'm getting irritated watching cornerbacks and strong safeties come up to the line of scrimmage and give in. Well, I'll just fall down and maybe I'll tangle their feet up. To me, it's a picture of how not to live as a Christian. As a Christian, we need to stand up and step forward. As I said before, we cannot be camouflaged Christians. We must be visible. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor, not part of it, all of it. Again, not part of it, but all of it. It goes on to say in that verse that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let's define wiles. Again, from the King James Dictionary, it's a trick, a stratagem, practice for ensnaring or deception, a sly, insidious deceit. Let me put it this way. It's not always obvious what the enemy's trying to do to set you up, to knock you down, and to steal your promise. That is why we must draw near to God and have eyes to see the unseen, ears to hear what the voice of God is telling us, so that we can see what the enemy's trying to do and put a stop to it. Instead of just blindly going through our day. Because let me tell you this, the enemy is always trying to find a way to ensnare us. He's always trying to find a way to trick us into believing something that is not true. He's always trying to create environments around us, and not always through us, but through others, to try to get us to give up and to give in. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against all that. The whole armor. 1 Peter 5:8 says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Verse 9, stand firm against him. Again, stand means stand. Stand firm against him. Church, the Bible says that we are to stand firm against him. Draw nearer to God. Draw nearer to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. How do I draw nearer to God? Have you made this the number one thing in your life? Is this your number one read? Is this where you spend your time? Shared with you last week, just sitting down, going through Psalms, and God began to remind me, this verse, reminding me of things he had done. And the more I read, the more I remembered, the stronger I got. And the more determined I was that the devil wasn't going to steal my promise. This word is life. This word is the bread of life that will give you everything you need to defeat the enemy. The word. Books are great. I learn from books. But I learn how to fully and completely defeat the enemy through this book. And it gives me the weapons that I need. We have got to stand against him. Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Key word in here is withstand. Let me define withstand, withstander, and withstanding. Withstand, all from the King James Dictionary, says to oppose, to resist, either with physical or moral force, as to withstand the attack of troops. Why did I use the football analogy? Because sometimes when I looked up, it looked like a herd coming at me. Not one person, but three or four of them, with all their eyes looking at me. How many times you felt that way? Felt like the enemy was just surrounding you on every side. Standing means to withstand the attack of troops. To withstand pressure or arguments. Oh, here's where it really happens. We want to stand our ground. And then we let the pressure of others tell us, no, that's not what God will do. Can't you see this, 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 and this? And you know what? You're just being an idiot. You know, you're just, man, I don't even like being around you. And now we feel the pressure to give in and to give up on what we're standing for because I don't want them not to hang out with me. Come on. What you should say to them, you know, I like you. I am right now at this moment trying to love you. But I'm going to love you with the love of the Lord. But if we can't hang out together, that's fine. I refuse. I want to repeat, I refuse to give up on my promises. We have got to boldly stand up. But what if I'm the only person in my workspace and nobody will talk to me? Well, when you start, the promises start manifesting, everybody's going to start coming your direction. That's the truth. We give up and give in too quickly when God's setting up an opportunity to witness to the entire building. Arguments. I have one word to say with that. Don't argue. I like to argue. Stop. Stand your ground. Don't argue. They want to argue about it. You just look at them and say, I'm not going to argue about it. I know what God's told me. I know what the Word says, and I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. Got quiet when I said that. I'm not going to argue with you. Paul told Timothy to stay away from foolish arguments. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to let you steal the promise. I'm not going to argue with you until I get into a bad attitude. Now I'm mad, you're mad, then everybody else around us is mad, and I've forgotten what God promised me. And I'd spend the next 2 weeks being mad at you and forgetting to pray about the promises. Oh, we've all done it. Withstander means one that opposes an opponent, a resisting power. A resisting power. I wanted to be the resisting power when they came around that corner. We have got to make a decision. I don't care if it's 1 or 100. I'm going to plant my feet, get up on my toes. I'm going to take the Word of God, and I'm coming after you because you're not going to take my ground. Matter of fact, I'm going to take back some of what you think is yours. And do not, oh, come on, Holy Spirit, thank you. Do not buy into the lie. Oh, if you do that, you're just asking for trouble. Devil's going to come after you. He's coming after us, folks. Every day he's trying to find a way. Don't buy into that false teaching. We are to stand our ground and take back the land. Amen. Period. Amen. Don't buy into that. Well, I'm just going to sit over here so nothing will happen. Stuff still happens, doesn't it? Don't buy into that. That's a lie. As my grandfather used to say, a lie straight from hell. Withstanding means opposing, making resistance. Have you noticed that none of this says backing up and then pushing forward, backing up, pushing forward? No, it means oppose, resist. I'm not moving. I'm not moving. Well, I did that one time and things kind of went. And so you're going to sell out the rest of the promises of God over one or two things. That's exactly how the enemy does this to get us to quit. We all could have gave up a long time ago. I could have gave up a long, long time ago about us not being portable anymore. But you got to resist. You got to believe. No, God, you promised. And you press in. Push forward. There's four pieces that I want to talk about in the armor with the time that I have left. There's more than that, but I'm only going to focus on four. Okay? Four today to make some strong points with everybody. And I'm going to look at this from the perspective of a Roman soldier. I'm not going to preach on this from what is typically preached from the side of getting into the deeper spiritual things, and they mean a lot of things. I want to talk to you from the simple side of being a soldier, because I want to talk to us about it's time that we become the soldiers of Jesus Christ, and let's start moving forward instead of standing still and going backwards. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, I'm going to read from the Amplified. To stand firm, hold your ground, having tightened the belt, wide band of truth, personal integrity, moral courage around your waist, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, an upright heart, verse 15, and having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability. I love that. Face the enemy. Face the enemy. And the readiness produced by the good news. The good news gospel. Verse 16, above all, lift up the protective shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I want to start with the belt of truth. Now, from a Roman soldier's perspective, that belt was the most important thing that he wore. Because that belt held everything else together. That's what they latched the breastplate to, swords, other things that they had, the stuff they had to protect their legs. All of that was attached to the belt. The belt was the central piece to a Roman soldier's equipment, the belt. The belt is the essential piece to your armor, and it is the Word of God. It is the truth of the Word of God. Are we putting on the belt of truth? I mean truth. 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 What the Bible says, not what someone else says. What does the Bible say about it? Are we putting on the belt of truth every day? Because it's essential to all the other pieces of the armor. The belt of truth. It holds everything together. It's the Word of God. It means when you put on the belt of truth that you are grounded and rooted in God's Word. And when you are rooted and fully grounded in the Word of God, the enemy is going to have a hard time taking your promises. Taking your promises. And this truth, when you surround yourself with the Word of truth, it will defeat the lies and deceptions of Satan. The Word of truth. The Word of truth. Is there any other way, Pastor? No. The Word of truth. The Word of truth. Second is the breastplate of righteousness, but I want to talk to you about the breastplate from a Roman soldier's perspective. The Roman soldier, the reason he had this breastplate was real simple. It was to guard his heart from a quick kill. The breastplate was really for the purpose of not protecting anything but the heart for a quick kill. The enemy wants to wound your heart and take you out. The enemy wants to bring weapons of words and circumstances and situations to stab your heart, to wound you, to get you into an offense, or to get you into arguments, or to get you into anger, to get you into unforgiveness, to get you into holding grudges, so that you will give up. Give up what? The promises. Because now I'm so engrossed in what you did to my heart, I don't even think about the promises anymore. Breastplate of righteousness, but let's look at it from the Roman soldier's perspective. It was to keep him safe from an easy kill. Proverbs 4:23 tells us, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Study that completely out. Here's what you learn. The heart is where the issue of life comes, either life or death. Out of your heart, what is the old saying? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Where's your heart? Are you guarding your heart? I'm still troubled when I'm around people who will curse in front of me, as though that's okay. There's a heart issue here. Are y'all with me? Something in the heart's got to change. Guard your heart because your words make a difference. What's coming out of your mouth? Rochelle will tell you, you didn't want to listen to me. Matter of fact, Rochelle, long time ago, I wish you could just take me out. She'd be standing for stuff and I'd be tearing it down. My heart. Guard your heart. How do I do that? The Word of God. The Word of God. The belt of truth will make your armor stronger. The deceiver has what I call the deceiver Satan. I call him the deceiver Satan. He has a weapon that I call his secret weapon. It's a spear. It's called condemnation. Because, see, once we get over on all this stuff that I was just talking about, then all of a sudden we start realizing this isn't right, and then we get under condemnation. My father didn't bring that condemnation. The devil did. And if we're not guarding our heart, he'll get us under condemnation. 1 John 3:21 says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God." Now, I have a truth concerning that. When there is condemnation in our hearts, then there is no confidence in God to help us stand. You're going to have a hard time standing if you're letting the enemy bring condemnation and get you to believing that that's God. That is not God. That's the deceiver. My God does not bring condemnation. My God brings freedom. He brings freedom to the heart of man. I don't have time to go into my testimony. Sometime I'm going to have to preach my series on 6 degrees to freedom so that you'll know who I really was and why Rochelle should have taken a contract out on me. Because I was not a good person. And some people here have known me a long time. Yeah, he was a pain, yeah. The Word of God absolutely changed my life. And we must guard our hearts with the Word. Men, since we're getting ready to launch the men's ministry, I just want to say this. I'm big enough. You can throw your stones. Men, we're the head of the house. We need to be the first up on our toes launching out. Enough said. It's almost impossible to rejoice when you're under condemnation. And the enemy wants you under condemnation so that you will not rejoice. You will not worship God because worship is a weapon against him. I'm going to encourage you, when you come in here, you need to worship God with every ounce of your being. Because it's warfare against the enemy of your life and your family. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Another thing the Roman soldier did was he polished his breastplate to the point that when it was in the sun, it would blind his enemy. I was reading my daily reading through the Bible. I read through the Bible every year. And I was doing my reading, and I came across a story where the 7 sons of Sceva were trying to cast out this spirit. And I love this. You know, they were trying to do this, and this person they were trying to cast it out, look, the spirit in them spoke to them and said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you?" And then he tore them up. We need to be polishing our breastplate with the Word of God to the point that when you step outside the door of your house, the enemy goes, "Oops, here he comes again. Oops, there she goes again." Okay. You need to be known as a problem to his kingdom that he thinks he owns. Don't go out with your breastplate dull. Third one is the sandals or the shoes. And I'm going to have to end with this one. Holy Spirit's speaking to somebody this morning. Because I went off. That was the Holy Spirit from the get-go. God's up to something large at North Elevation Church. The shoes or the sandals. What most people don't know, the Roman soldiers' shoes were not just those really pretty, cool-looking sandals you see in movies. They were weapons. They had spikes on the top of them and spikes on the bottom of them. So that if you fell before them, they could kill you with one blow of their foot. But the main reason they had the spikes was so that you could not move them. A Roman soldier put spikes on his sandals so he could stand his ground when a troop came after him. Church, we have got to put on the gospel, fully be clothed in the gospel, and plant our feet upon the truth of the gospel and stand our ground. To hold firm, no matter the difficulties, I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to have my promises. Ephesians 6:15 says, "And having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness, and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace." I love that. I'm going to read it again. "And having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace." Romans 6:20 tells us the God of peace will quickly crush Satan under your feet. Two things that the Holy Spirit brought revelation to me the very first time I read that verse of Scripture was, Corey, you need to read the Word of God. You need to stay in the Word of God. You need to bury yourself in the Word of God so that you can stand in the days that the enemy comes at you like a flood. But let me tell you something else, Corey. It is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stand your ground and speak the truth of the gospel and defeat the enemy. Don't take the Word of God and go, "I'm going to stand now. What did Pastor tell me?" No. Devil, it is written. And I'm going to read it to you right here. It is written. In my journal, I penned this week. Because I'm standing my ground, I'm going to see the promises. I wrote this: "No weapon formed against me shall prosper. For my righteousness is of the Lord, no condemnation. Whatever I do will prosper, for I am a tree planted by the rivers of living water." Isaiah 54:17 and Psalms 1:3. "I am an overcomer, and I overcome by the blood of the Lamb." That's the testimony of Jesus Christ. "And the word of my testimony," Revelation 12:11. "I take the shield of faith, and I quench every fiery dart that the wicked one brings against me." Ephesians 6:16. Know the word. Write the word down. Speak the word. Defend your ground. The shield of faith, I don't have to go tell you all of that, but let me tell you about that shield. Most soldiers, not all of them like the movies, their shield went from the ground to the top of their head, covered in leather, metal, alligator skin, all kinds of stuff, and it had spikes in the bottom of it. They would plant that shield and take on every arrow that was shot at them. The shield of faith, the word of God, where is it? Is it out here or back here? I want the promises. What about you? Would you bow your heads? I'm going to do something I don't normally do. But I'm taking this on today. I had a final conclusion statement I want to make, but the Holy Spirit's up to something large here. God has blessed me with a memory. And it's easy for me to memorize things. And I'm just grateful for that because there's a lot of things I can't do well. But He's given me that. I will remember. Normally, I want you to just be bold and upfront, but today's a little different. Can you be honest enough today and allow me the opportunity to war with you and to pray for you, to say, Pastor, this is a message that's convicted my heart, and I want to turn that around. Would you stand with me? Would you just raise your hand up and leave it up? Do you have the courage to say, this message has brought conviction to my heart, and I want to change that? Would you stand with me in prayer? I see those hands. If we're going to take the territory and see the promises fulfilled, we've got to move to the next level. Those of you that have your hands up, I want you to pray with me while I pray for you right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, you see all these hands. They're all across this building. Father, you're the God of love. You're a good, good Father. So right now, Father, I stand with them and speak with them. That God, we ask your forgiveness for not standing as we ought, not having the word in our life where it should be. And so today, Father, I repent. I turn my back and I go in a new direction. And that direction is to plant my feet and launch out and to defend what you have promised me with your word. Now, God of heaven, God of earth, God of all the universes that man has ever been able to find, you created everything. I ask now, God, that you fall afresh on every person who has their hands raised. Holy Spirit, stir them up to step forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God is up to something large at North Elevation Church. If you're a guest with us for the first time, I'm going to encourage you to go by our Connection Center. We have a gift bag for you. We'd love for you to fill out the connection card. Just fill out what you feel comfortable with. There, I would like to send you a personal card and just share something with you. We will not call you and wear you out by emails. We just would like some information that you were here. North Elevation Church, would you stand? And our guest. Church, let's end with this reality. We are going to take the land. We are going to see the promises fulfilled here at North Elevation Church. You are going to see the promises fulfilled in your life that God has spoke to you. Can you get in agreement with that? Then say amen. You're dismissed.